My online course is currently available that will teach you everything you need to know to be a great parent and a great teacher. Link in the show notes.
Sometimes I call these like mommy fast warnings, right? If it's a mommy fast warning, I might say, you know what? It's a mommy fast warning. I'll put one on, you put the other one. Or I'll put both of them on. Or let's toss them in your backpack, right? We'll figure it out when we get to school. And so I've joined her, right? I'm not using a lot of words. I'm using the calm energy that I have because I've just calmed myself down. And then I would probably move into melodic intonation. So it's like in these moments, you have to pull all the tools, right? I think it's like we start to get stressed and then we're like, oh my God, it's not working. And really like what's not working is we need more supports.
What's my name? What's my name? What's my name?
Welcome to Mr. Chaz's Leadership, Parenting, and Teaching Podcast, where I introduce you to the people that can help you on your parenting, teaching, or leadership journey. And today, I have another great episode coming right at you. And I will let her introduce herself, and then we'll get started right in the conversation, talking about transitions and some other fun stuff.
Awesome. I'm Dr. Chelsea. So happy to be here. I mostly work with parents, so I do work with teachers too, really focused on the brain and the nervous system, on how kids learn how to show up and how kids and parents, kids and the grownups that sit beside them can move with more ease and more cooperation through everyday stuff.
Okay. I'm going to start pretty general as I have a tendency to do. We'll get deeper and deeper into practical things, but what's your parenting philosophy? Like what it kind of informs your parenting and how you approach things?
Yeah, it's such a good question, especially in the context of like gentle parenting, right? Which I think is just not a very clear term what most of us are doing. Yeah. So I'm an academic by training and a researcher. And so that informs a lot of what I do. I've done a lot of work in educational neuroscience. And so I'm really interested in how we slow things down so that kids and grownups can have brain and nervous system development so that we can build relationships, relationship-based parenting, right? We can build relationships with kids that inspire cooperation and connection as opposed to consequences, screaming, all the yelling, all of the stuff, the bribing that many of us fall into because we just don't know what else to do.
So you said slow things down. And I can imagine for a lot of people, that's probably feels like a conflict of interest because they're in this busy world that we live in and there's always an appointment or a thing we got to get to or a thing we got to do. And a lot of us are figuring out how to speed our kids up and get them from point A to point B. Why is it important to, why should we slow things down? Well, I'm just trying to get out the door as quick as we can so we cannot be late to the thing.
Yeah, me too, friend. Right? It's like, can we please get everybody out the door with nobody getting into a fight over who got to open the car door? And the order that they get in the car and all of that kind of stuff. And, you know, it's ironic, right? But it really is the case that we got to slow things down in order to speed them up.
Okay.
And one of the things that I always think about is like you said, point A to point B, right? We are trying to move our kids. And, you know, as adults, we just transition all the time. Like our whole life is transitions, right? And one of the things that I see happen with parents when we are trying to go like out the door, or leaving soccer practice or any transition, is that the kid becomes overwhelmed because transitions bear such a high cognitive load. They're hard. It's hard cognitive work. And then maybe the parent tries to support them. Like they give them a timer or they let them know we're about to leave or something like that, but it's not attuned. And so it doesn't feel like support to the kid. And so the parent continues to speed it up. Like we're getting closer. Here we go. And the kid slows down and resists, right? The kid slows, the parent speeds, the kid slows, the parent speeds, and you're just in a cycle that's hard to get out of. And I mean, like, you can go to the park and watch this happen. You can go to the park and watch a parent, like, give a child one cue. They're trying. The child doesn't process the cue. And then the parent goes to pull them out and they slow down or resist. And the next thing you know, it's like the parent has the idea that they could just, like, pull the Band-Aid off, right? If, like, I go faster, this yucky part will be shorter. Mm-hmm. And that is better for our life. But the kid just slows down, right? That's how they're wired. And so we get into this cycle, and sometimes kids, like, I have a child who will actually lay down, like, lay on the floor. I'm like, get your shoes on, hurry up. We've got 3.5 minutes before I have to, like, be at school. She will lay on the floor to slow things down until I can join her and move her through. It's going to take way less time to join and move her through than it is to go through that whole thing.
So I kind of have, like, a double question here.
Yeah.
Well, actually, let me just ask one at a time. So with your daughter laying down on the ground, what exactly does that look like and sound like for you to get her from the, help her from the ground and into that car seat? Like, what does that look like? What does that sound like? What are you thinking when you're doing it? Like, how do you talk to yourself in this moment? Because 3.5 minutes till you get to school, and it's a 5-minute trip. So, like, this is, you know, can be really triggering in these moments. So, you know, I think it'd be easy to say, like, okay, slow down. But there's also this emotional component that we're experiencing as an adult as well. So can you kind of speak to that? Like, how do you, when you need to be at a place in 3.5 minutes, you're already late, it's a 5-minute trip, the child's lying down on the ground. How do you approach that? How do you help them?
Yeah. So let me just tell you this story, right, of this happening last week. I've got 3 kids. There's a million things to do, right? We're trying to get out the door. I'm giving her, you know, a lot of directions, right? Like, you know, get the water bottle, find the folder, like, let's go. And as I do that, it's like the edges of my voice moves into her body and she starts to resist. If I miss the resistance, that's when she's going to lay down, right? And so the cue for me is, like, if she's laying on the floor, it's like, okay, what can I do to take care of myself for 5 seconds so that I can kneel down and join her? And, like, I don't know about you, but in those kinds of moments, like, my heart is beating fast. I am feeling hot. Mm-hmm. I'm, like, thinking about the traffic and, like, my coffee and the first meeting, right? And so our kids are fundamentally oriented in the moment, right? Not in the future. We're so future oriented, us grown up people. And so whatever it is, like, for me, I often will put a hand on my heart and a hand on my tummy and, like, take a deep breath. Right. And then I'm going to slow down and get on the ground with her. I'm like literally grounding myself next to her. And if I touch her or I smell her hair, right, those are all cues to my system that are like, this is okay. We're okay. Here we go. Right. And when I take, like, it's literally, I mean, I know it feels like, oh my God, I'm going to be 4 minutes late instead of 3.5. But it's literally 30 seconds. If you've never done it, you're going to have to practice, right? If your kid's like, why is my parent all of a sudden, like, kneeling down next to me?
Mm-hmm.
Right. I might have to practice that. But when we do practice it, our kids start to know, right? And I just have to cue myself that as soon as she starts to go that way, I've got to go inward so that I can get into a place where I can move her forward.
Okay. So you take care of yourself. You do some breathing. You put your hand on your heart and your head, and you sit down, you kneel, you're with them, you're smelling her hair. Now what do? You just keep smelling her hair until she leaves.
It sounds that way, right? It's like she's still moving, right?
So you still need her in that car.
So I want to join her, right? So I might say, wow, tricky morning. Not a lot of words. So I'm going to go for joining. And then I'm going to, like, probably get my hand on her and I might say, okay, here we go. We've got three. And I'd probably be tapping her. I'm like, 3, 2, 1. Now it's time for it. Shoes are still not on. It's like, now it's time for shoes. Right. If it's a, sometimes I call these like mommy fast mornings, right? If it's a mommy fast morning, I might say, you know what? It's a mommy fast morning. I'll put one on, you put the other on. Or I'll put both of them on. Or let's toss them in your backpack. Right. We'll figure it out when we get to school. And so I've joined her. Right. I'm not using a lot of words. I'm using the calm energy that I have because I've just calmed myself down. And then I would probably move into melodic intonation. So it's like in these moments, you have to pull all of your, you have to pull all the tools. Right. I think it's like we start to get stressed and then we're like, oh my God, it's not working. And really, like, what's not working is we need more supports. Right. So I could have a few different things. Like I could move into melodic intonation and I could say, now it's time to walk to a car. And like, I would do that with my 8-year-old. 100%. Right. And I'm going to move her out. I might need to break it down further if she's really stuck. So I might have to go for like, okay, shoes are on. You did it. Awesome. Stand up. Here we go. 1 foot, the other foot. Right. So I'm going to move her out super slowly, knowing that like, she's edgy. This is a tricky moment. It's not the moment to like do any teaching.
Yeah.
It's just the moment to like move into the car, like maybe put some soothing music on, and let her know like it's probably gonna get easier. We're gonna probably have a really good day at school. That was hard. I need to turn the coffee maker on sooner tomorrow morning.
It's probably gonna get easier. So you mentioned melodic intonation, and we were kind of giving her direction, but kind of in a sing-songy kind of voice. You mentioned I kind of said some very clear, direct instruction with not a lot of words. And is there anything else that you mentioned that I left out?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what I mentioned, and I think you have to know your child.
Yeah.
Right. So part of this is like, is my child the sing song kind, or is my child one who is going to do better with like a visual schedule?
Yeah.
Right. And I actually made for this child that we're talking about a visual schedule of her more. I made it for all three of them, right, of their morning. And it's not that they don't know what needs to be done in the morning. Like the oldest two are 8, they know what to do. Right. It's that having a visual thing is like so supportive, right? It's like, oh, I can ground, like, here's my thing. I can ground into this and orient myself to it, even though mom is like a little crazy because she's trying to get everything done, right?
Yeah.
Even though it's a new school year and I'm like still adjusting to my new teacher and classroom or school, like all these different new routines. Where are the places our kids get to get the extra support?
Yeah. So you said you mentioned you made a visual schedule for all three of your kids. I know you said one was 8. How old were the other two?
They're 8, 8, and 6.
8, 8, and 6. So have you found the visual schedule to be like helpful? Has it made any kind of difference? Yeah.
So I did that because I had a really bad this morning that we're talking about. It just was really, it was real tough. It was real hard. Right. And so I'm like, okay, the child who's struggling the most, what's going to help here? Right. And they've used visual schedules in the past. And I cannot, you know, the first time I did, I just like drew some ugly stick figures on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
Right. With their name on the top. Yeah. And, it was great. And now like, they're like, where's my schedule? You forgot to do my schedule. Like, will you write my schedule out? You didn't put the shower on my schedule. I want that to be on my schedule so I can check it off.
Yeah.
Right. There's like something really sweet about being able to say like, oh, check, you know, I did that.
Yeah.
You know, then I don't have to do all the nagging.
Yeah.
What's on your schedule?
Right. And, you know, that's something I talk about all the time, that like we'll get tired of repeating ourselves after, you know, the third, fourth, fifth, 120th time.
Yeah.
But you know what doesn't get tired of repeating themselves? A visual, right? And so we can refer to the visual and they know where to go for where, what's coming up next and when this is going to happen. That's already helps us be a little bit more regulated because we're not having to repeat ourselves as much. And it's so supportive and helpful for them to be able to kind of be in charge of their schedule, to know what was going on and be able to see that and to be able to hold that in their head, because we know that, you know, young children are still developing their executive skills, that children are still developing their executive skills. And one of those skills is being able to hold information, working memory, being able to hold information in your head. So, you know, to be able to have that visual where you don't have to hold it, but you can just see it and refer to it, can be so helpful for children. And actually, that's why, little plug here, I partnered with Mighty and Bright to make a Mr. Chaz visual schedule, because I so just believe in the power of visuals and how helpful visuals can be in, you know, transitions. And I encourage people, like, I have that out there so people can, you know, they can just buy it. But if you don't, you know, if you're really cost conscious, you can just make it yourself, right? Yeah. It might take a little bit more time.
It does not have to be fancy. Those ones are great, right? If you can borrow somebody else's, like, amazing. Then you have an example.
Yeah.
You can also just, like, I mean, you could legit draw it on a Post-it, like, you know, and then you just send your kid back to the Post-it.
Yeah.
It's like, wait a second, what's on that Post-it? And I love that you said, like, what doesn't get tired of repeating itself? A visual.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, there's no parent on this planet who can stay regulated if they've told their child 100 times to do something. It's not possible.
Right.
Actually, it's like, you know, our kids are less likely to do the thing the more times we tell them.
Yeah.
Right.
So, let me ask you, stay in the same kind of lane, but different scenario. We talked about getting your child from the floor to the car, you know, from that floor of the house to the car. Now I want to kind of talk about, what about, like, the park? Right? Because the park is just, it's so fun, right? And they're having to leave, but they may have made friends there. So they're having to leave those connections and all of just the gross motor fun activity that they probably don't get enough of during the day, especially if they're at in a traditional school. You know, how do you help children leave the park with success? Because I know that's a really difficult transition for a lot of families.
It is so hard, right? And, you know, the reason I think it's so hard is because that transition, like any transition, has so many steps to it, right? So, like, your kid is on the swing, they're having, like, sensory delight, maybe they're, like, talking with a friend, that it's, like, fun, and they're happy to be there. And now you're like, oh, come on, let's go buy the spaghetti sauce and pick up your brother. And to do
that, like, lame, we don't want to do that.
To do that successfully, they have to, like, release attention from the swing, right? Which, that's, like, the first problem.
Yeah.
They have to physically, like, you have to be close enough that they can hear you, right? And I think oftentimes what happens is, like, we're too far away. They don't physically hear us. Then we start to get activated. Then we move in and we're already activated because we feel like we've told them 100 times. So it's to release attention, hear the cue, process the cue, form, like, a social emotional response. Like, I trust you, I'm going to go with you. I get it. We're going to leave. They have to form a motor plan. They have to execute the motor plan. They have to avoid distractions, and then they have to follow through. Right. Wow. So if you miss any of those, or they're out of order, like, you're toast. It's going to be a tough moment to transition through. And so I am holding that, all those steps. And then I'm also holding, like, the perspective thing, right? So my grown-up perspective is usually forward facing, like the thing that we're going to next. My child's in the present. There's a cognitive load. I got to shift my language so that I honor like where this child is and what they need to move through the transition. Right. Which is probably like, instead of saying we have 3 more minutes till we leave, I want to say we have 3 more minutes to play. Can you believe it? Or we have 4 more slides to go down. Right. I want to give a present oriented thing that is tied to what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm helping them close.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, I got to be an arm's distance. I got to be close enough that they are going to be able to understand what's happening.
Okay. So far I've heard get close and let them know, kind of language it. Say you have 4 more slides, you know, 4 more slides to go down, or 4 more times to swing, or whatever. But just let them know, like, instead of saying, until we go, this is how much time you have left for to do while you're here in the present.
Yeah, stay in the present,
right?
I also think most of us need to build in more steps than that. So it's like 3 more minutes or 10 more slides, 1 more minute. I'm joining. I'm going to probably always say it the same way. So what I usually say at 1 minute is 1 more minute. And I'm checking to make sure that every child has heard that, right? And then at the 1 minute mark, it's like, now the time is up. And I've checked myself that I'm not like chatting with the other parents. I'm going to hold it, right? And I'm not going to give the cue. I'm not going to start the transition until I am also ready to leave.
Yeah.
Because that happens too. You know, you're just trying to get your own needs met, and then you just drag it out forever, and it's very confusing.
Yeah. And we're having a hard time transitioning ourselves, right? Yeah. And so then, you know, we say the 1 more minute thing, or we say it's time to go, but we're still talking and they're waiting. And then it's like, well, is this even like, I don't know if I can even trust when you say 1 more minute or when it's time to go, because we're still not leaving. And I could have been still playing, you know, while you were talking. So like, what are we doing here? And now tomorrow, when you say 1 more minute, I think you're going to be, you know, this really means 5 more minutes, right? Because that's what you have kind of shown in the past. Well, maybe it means 10 minutes, or maybe it means 2 minutes, or right? And so this also kind of another case of like, we got to have the skill to teach the skill, right? We got to be able to transition ourselves so that we can be in a place to effectively transition our children.
Right. Totally. I completely agree. And I, you know, there is a little bit of leeway because our little ones are not like really measuring time super closely. Right. So there is, I mean, you don't have to be like, oh, hard and strict on yourself. It's okay to have a little give. But like, you know, someone shows up that you really want to chat with. And if you've already started your transition and you really want to chat with them, then I might just say, you know what? I changed my mind. This other mom's here. Let's play for a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. I'll let you know we're leaving. So you can daylight the thing. But you know, it's like, so say I'm not doing that. I've done my 1 minute. I'm actually leaving. If your child is struggling, that's the cue that they need more supports. Whether that's like, you know, breaking it down further. So it's like up off the swing, bye-bye swing, swing's all done. Then it's like next is shoes, right? It's like, you got to break it down. So it's not just we're on the swing, now we're going to the car. I got to close the activity. So especially, you know, with like a 2, 3, or 4-year-old, I'm like 3 touches of like, bye-bye swing, see you next time.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're walking for shoes. Shoes are on. I'm going to help them put their shoes on. And then it's like, now it's time. Now it's time to walk to car, right? Hop in seat, or you could, you know, whatever you're going to say.
Yeah.
But singing like that also helps us stay. It's hard to be mad if you're singing.
Yeah. Yeah. Like even when you're seething, when you're singing, you have to breathe a lot too. And it's just like, definitely helps with the regulation. And there's something else that you said that I think is just interesting and I want to point out. And I think it's such an opportunity for empathy for our children who do struggle to transition, right? You mentioned like, you know, another parent comes up and you really want to talk to that parent. So you like delays. Oh, actually, I changed my mind. We're going to have maybe 10 or 20 more minutes or whatever, right? So we extend the time from the time that we said that we were going to leave. And that's something that children don't really have the power to do, right? Someone shows up at their park, right, that they really want to play with, or someone of their same age, or the play was just getting really good for them. They don't really have the option to be like, okay, well, mom, this person just showed up. Can we do, you know, another 20 minutes or another 25 minutes? Like, and the fact that we want to extend that time, that we're having a hard time transition, I think it's just an opportunity to like, to do some perspective taking and have some empathy. And that will allow us to be less triggered and more regulated, because it's like, I get why you're having a hard time too. I was having a hard time 10 minutes ago when I saw my best friend show up at the park and I didn't know that she was going to come, right? Or someone or mom group that I really want to get in with. And I didn't know that they were going to show up, and I really wanted to, you know, build some relationships for X, Y, Z reasons. Right. And so I just think that's just such a great point of empathy. And I think that we can really appreciate the struggle that children have.
Yeah. And maybe it's sometimes if somebody your child really loves shows up, like maybe it's okay to say, hey, you know what? I get you. Like, I hear you. You're like that friend you've been playing with just came. You know what? I think we can play for 5 more minutes. I want to make sure that you have a couple minutes to connect with that person. Right. You know, there's a lot of places where we're either rushing and we don't need to, and just a little bit of give. Like, here's another example of a time that happened to me when the child didn't end up laying on the floor. Right. So we went to Old Navy, which why I decided to take 3 kids to Old Navy. I mean, sorry, but, and when we came out, and they'd been like hiding in the thing. So I was a little like, oh God, let's leave. We came out and there was this like big fountain right in front of, the Old Navy, and they wanted to like play in the fountain and throw pennies in the fountain. And it was hot and I wanted to leave. And they're like, oh, come on. We really want to play in the fountain. And I was like, okay, we can play for 10 seconds. And I legit was like, here's a couple pennies for each of you. I'm just like digging around in my purse for a couple pennies. Right. And yeah, we can play for 10 seconds. I'll count it. Right. So I'm just like 10, 9, super slowly. And then I'm like 1. Now it's time to walk to car. And all 3 of them hop off the side of the fountain and like move on with me.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, where are the places where we have the capacity? Most of us have the capacity to do that for 10 seconds. We just forget when we get like really worried about things and dysregulated and like in the mode of we got to do all of the things and I'm already late and all of that stuff.
We'll go into an interesting conversation. You know, someone might hear that and be concerned that allowing them to do this thing that they wouldn't typically be allowed to do, or being flexible in that way where maybe you let them stay at the park for a little bit longer because a friend came, or you let them go into the fountain, opens up challenge and negotiation and just pushback in the future in those situations, right? And so like if I let them stay an extra 10 minutes because a friend came by today, what if the friend comes by the next day, you know, or next week or whatever, and they're like, well, this friend came by and I really want to play with them. And such and such and such and such. And maybe it's a day where you can't do it because you have other things too. And now it's, you know, the child might be feeling inconsistent with the ex, feel like the expectations are inconsistent. You know, what would you say to someone who has that concern?
Yeah. I think we both know that's like maybe one of the number one concerns, right? It's like, how do I walk this line of modeling flexibility for my child and honoring their regulation, and letting them run all over me, right? And so I think there's a couple of things. I think you have to really decide, is this a moment where we are able to do this? And so it's worth it to drop the rope and stay another 10 minutes because we're having a delightful time. Or is this a moment where, like, I actually have to leave and pick up my other child, or I have to do X, Y, and Z, or my kid is like really at the end of their rope. And so we're going to go. And then I'm going to put all the tools there, right? It's like all of the supports for my child. And you kids need both of those. Kids both need the experience of like, my mom or my dad or my grown up is going to be consistent. And there's lots of ways to have consistency and also have some flexibility.
Yeah.
It's like when our boundaries get so brittle, like I said 1 minute and like 64 seconds have passed, it's like they just get sharp and then everybody gets cut. Mm-hmm. Right? It's like, you've got to hold it with a little bit of give.
Yeah.
And so probably don't stay 2 hours at the park. Right. Or like an example that came up with one of my clients the other day, it's like, she's trying to keep her 3-year-old regulated. He's having a tricky, tricky time. He's screaming for ice cream. They have not had breakfast. And so she gives him the ice cream because that was going to help him calm down. And it's like, well, I don't want you to remove yourself in these moments. I want you to stay present, but we're also like looking to make solid choices for our kids and like hold, you know, like let's have a little breakfast. Let's do ice cream, you know, maybe after lunch or like after breakfast. I don't know. Right. It's like, you have to hold these tensions together.
Yeah.
And I would hold the consistency with melodic intonation, with fewer words, with always framing it the same way. And I would also call it flexibility. Like if I do that, I might say like, oh, I'm feeling flexible today. Mm-hmm. Let's stay for another 10 minutes. Right. And then I have a template. Then like when my child doesn't want to do something, I could say like, I bet today's going to be kind of a flexible day. Right. It's like, I can do that modeling.
Yeah. You know, and this is something that I walk all the time of just having the boundaries, but also align for the flexibility. Because it's like it's the recognition. It's the boundaries. They need boundaries. They need to know what to expect. They need to not have, you know, full access to everything in the world because they're still learning and, you know, there's safety concerns and all that jazz. Right. So boundaries are important. Right. And flexibility is important too, because there's also this other piece of life of just not just routine and humdrum of just like, you know, to enjoy life and to experience things and to value routine and spontaneity, right? And so like, how can we hold both these things together? And one of the ways that I've kind of found to be helpful in those moments where I want to be flexible and I can be flexible, is I will say why this thing, like, okay, so this is a thing that we're not normally allowed to do, but today we can do it because X, Y, and Z, right? And so that way that goes into their kind of logic and reasoning and kind of thinking about things and thinking about different situations where you can be flexible and can't be flexible. It can't. So like if the child, so like we had to pick up another kid, then we would say like, you know, I want to, but we have to pick up so-and-so from soccer practice, right? Or the flip side, it's like, you know, normally I would say no because, you know, we're running other errands or, you know, whatever reasons I would say no for that particular thing. But, you know, actually we're just going home and I got some towels in the car. So if you guys get wet, I can, you know, we can put it down. And You know, we don't really have anything planned after this. This is kind of like the rest of this is the last thing of the day, right? If we were coming from Old Navy and we were going to, you know, Costco next, and you know, it might be different, right? And so that's the way that I kind of wrestle with that, you know, the boundaries and the flexibility, right?
And there might be times when our kids need more flexibility, right? When there's like more stuff going on where they need more flexibility. And I can say, you know, I'm going to drop this rope right now and stay at the park for a few minutes. And I would call what you just described like daylighting, just saying like, you know what? I was having a cranky moment. You're right. We can stay for another 5 minutes. We're just going home. Right. So that you're doing that work for them, that noticing that, like, you know, there might be other times. And, you know, if you have to go pick up another child, you can still do that kind of work and then hold the boundary with like all the same empathy. Yeah. And I might say then to my child, you really want to stay in this sandbox forever. Like this sand is like so sandy. I don't know. It's so delightful. Right? It's like in this bucket, it's so fun.
Yeah.
We would love to even sleep at the park. Oh, that would be fun. Right. And I'm just like joining. And that's not what every kid needs. Some kids need something different, like how to, you know, to be broken down further or a visual support. But a lot of kids just need to be joined. And when you join them and like have some flexibility sometimes, other times you're going to join them and say, like, you know what, we got to go get brother.
Yeah.
We gotta go to Costco. We got no food left in the house. Come on.
Yeah, that joining is so important. You know, in talking about joining, something else I recommend, like just connect a little bit before that transition. You know, maybe it's screen time transition, right? And kind of get into their world about like what they're doing a little bit before that transition's happening, and it's a tendency to go smoother, or it even sometimes, like, you might even just through connecting and understanding what they're doing, you might find out like what could be a good stopping point for them, right? So we said like the four slides, like, oh, okay, like you might see like, oh, just, you know, one more level until your lives run out or until such and such happens, right? And that joining and that connecting not only primes their brain for willingness, but it also might help you become more informed in how to guide them more effectively.
Yeah. It's easier to be attuned, right? When you're in your child's world. And I always think about like, I want to go into their world and be there for a second. I'm not talking like about an hour. I'm talking about like, I don't know, a minute, right? I want to be in their world before I like pull them out into mine.
Yeah.
Because it is, you know, it's hard. It's hard to go from an unpreferred activity. I mean, I would be really upset too if somebody came and turned my show off in the middle of the show.
Yeah, 100%. So actually, let's go into bedtime transitions. That's another big one that is a huge struggle. What are your recommendations? What are your recommendations for just kind of the bedtime transition?
Yeah, you know, I don't think it's unsimilar from all of these other spaces. And this makes me think about this mom that I've been working with who's got two little girls, and their bedtime has been historically very inflamed, like all of the delays, the water, the 17 hugs, like now I need this, like now I need that. And they were really getting into it. And she'd be like, you have to come now. And the little girl would be like, no. Right. And that would just trigger mom up into like, what do you mean? Like it's bedtime. I already let you watch two shows, right? Way up. So then they're co-escalating in this negative pattern. And it's like, I'm going to say it one time and then I'm going to move her through. So for this mom, it's like, okay, sweet pea, shows are done. Now it's time to walk to bathroom for teeth. Right. And the little girl, and she sent me a video of this. So it was like, it just was so brilliant. The little girl is like, no. And mom walks over to her, wraps her arms around her, and is like, show is done. here we go. And she just scooped her off the couch and like slowly moved her off to the bathroom. And it's not like, it's not that she used a lot of words or even that she used exactly the right words. It's just that she's like, it was her demeanor.
Yeah.
It's her way of showing up. Like, this is actually what we're doing. And I have the confidence to move you through. Right. And if the kid is like, I don't want to brush my teeth and la la la, it's like, okay, don't pick it up. Though I don't need to go down this route of like, then you're going to go to the dentist and there's going to be all these cavities and like this and that and the other thing. It's just like, you always brush your teeth. And then I'm going to stay present, but I'm not going to respond to like more resistance because we are moving towards the bathroom. Like, here we go. I'll get the toothpaste.
Yeah.
Right.
What about, so, okay, you move the child towards the bathroom, you're doing the routine. And a lot of times the challenge is, all right, we did the routine, they're in the bed, mm-hmm. then they keep coming out of the bed.
Yeah.
And they keep on coming out of the bed and they're, you know, coming in the room or they're coming out of the bed and they're playing.
Yeah.
How would you recommend handling kind of those challenging situations?
Yeah. I mean, I think you have to ask like, why this and why now?
Yeah.
Right? So is my child not sleepy? Is my child like afraid of the dark? Is my child, I mean, this is like the sleep wake cycle. That's like the ultimate transition.
Yeah.
Right? It's a really big one. Does my child need me to stay in the room? Right. Is my child not yet ready to fall asleep? Right. Or are they in a period right now where they just need me to be a little bit closer? And I'll say that I stay in the room until my kids fall asleep most nights. Not all nights, but many nights, especially when we're going through a bigger transition, right? So if they pop up out of bed, I'm going for up, it's bedtime, right? And I might, you know, like I can think about putting, like working on the routine, like putting on some music or mine, listen to a calming, like kids meditation. But I can think about all of those pieces. But I also want to bring so much empathy to like, it's hard to fall asleep. Yeah. I mean, it's hard sometimes. I can't force you to fall asleep. Yeah. Right? And it's hard for parents because we just like want a break, you know?
Yeah.
It's like this time I'm like, oh my God, go to sleep.
So, okay. Last question I have, promise. And then we'll wrap all this up. We're kind of in a school transition. What about larger transitions, right? Moving from one house to another house or moving to a different school or going to school or just summer to school. How do you kind of handle and kind of ease children into those larger transitions?
Yeah, we're in a big one right now with the school year.
Yeah.
Right. And so if my child is just starting school, like starting preschool or starting kindergarten or something like that, I'm buying all the books, right? I'm like buying all the books. I could write my own books about what it's going to be like. So I'm letting them know sort of like from their perspective, right? This is what it's going to be like. We're going to, you know, this is what might happen. And then I'm going to expect that through this transition, needs are going to be a lot higher and kids are going to be a lot more tired. They're going to need a lot more sleep. And they're like, think about that cognitive load of all those 9 steps that they're doing on a micro level. They're also like doing them on a macro level with like the teacher and the classroom and all of the new routines. And so I'm like way reducing my expectations. I'm going for super low demand days. I'm building a lot of rest. Really, I'm still doing this for my own kids and we've been in school for 3 weeks. Right. So much priming. And then really reducing demands. So like doing less, fewer play dates, staying home more, like doing soft and sweet things. And letting my kid know, like if it's been hard, like say I have a preschooler who's crying at drop off every day. Like maybe when we're driving, I'm going for like, it's been kind of tricky to drop off. Yeah. I don't know. Today might be a little cry day or maybe it's going to be a big cry day. And then it's okay with me. If it's going to be a big cry day, like that's okay. Right. But I'm like letting them know, I don't know, like probably pretty soon, like maybe even tomorrow, you'll be a whole day older. We might have a little cry day. Maybe not.
Yeah.
So I can like build in all of those pieces, right? So I'm like looking for my kiddo to bring a rock to their teacher that they can hold an anchor with. I'm like going to draw hearts on everybody's hands so that when they're missing me, they can hold their heart hand and I can hold mine, right? It's like so much priming, and then so much gentleness around the dysregulation that is probably going to be more extreme during this back to school time.
I saw something called the kiss cup, and it's pretty much something where you put the kisses in the cup and they can hold it with them throughout the day. And whenever they're feeling lonely and they miss their parents, they can reach in their kiss cup and get kisses. And there's typically a picture of their family there too. So that can all be really helpful.
Yeah. That's horrible.
Yeah.
And it's so sweet. It's like something physical to hold. Yeah, there's that. That made me think about that book, The Kissing Hand.
Oh, I love that book. Yes, The Kissing Hand. Let's transition to the very end. Any last word you'd like to say in this episode?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just been really wonderful to be together. I hope that your listeners join me on TikTok. I have a program that people join for their just to get some parenting support and to get some more tools in there. There's lots of info on that on TikTok. And you know, I encourage all of you just to be gentle with yourselves and with your kids through the fall back to school transition.
Love it. Well, thank you so much for coming on, Dr. Chelsea. I don't think you mentioned, I don't know if you explicitly mentioned that you were a doctor, but I will at the end. Thank you for coming on, and hope to see you again. Loving your TikTok videos, loving what you're doing. Keep it up and definitely follow her because she's got a lot of great videos, lots of details. She does some of the role play thing like I do, and she goes into details about like just behind the role play. So I highly encourage.
What's my name? What's my name? What's my name?